He's there. He's not there. He's there. There he is.
There he is. Yeah, he's here. I just wanted to get the conference call recording started, and sometimes it lags from the last call and doesn't go off, so that's why I started it again. Anyway, welcome. Week 7, how is it going, and how is Supernova treating you?
It's overwhelming. Busy as a, unbelievably busy and good. You know, I'm loving it myself. But it's, you know, it's every day is like, oh my God, I gotta get, you know, gotta get moving, get moving, get moving. You know, I think it's been taken fairly well in my experience with the clients.
Mm-hmm.
We made a big decision in the last 2 weeks regarding Supernova, which I guess I probably should fill you in on. The 5 VPs, the one where we are probably weak, is going to be the, I know you call it brand management, or, you know, used to call it operations. You know, which is, there's 2 things there. One is that it requires a detail-oriented person that, you know, kind of stays on top of things meticulously, which is the antithesis of the 3 of us. And our assistant, whether or not she could do it is questionable, plus doubtful. In the reality that she's just spread so thin. So I have someone that was actually an assistant of mine back in 91 move with me from Shearson.
Like 85, Eddie. You worked with her way back then, right?
She wasn't my assistant back then, but she worked with me, you know, back in the late 80s. And I guess 89 probably started. 91 moved with me here. And anyway, she married, had 3 kids. She left working with me back in, when, 99?
About 99, yes.
Anyway, I'm hiring her back. So we're making a financial commitment to bring someone else on the team who is just a whiz at this type of stuff. Take it off her plate, make sure it, you know, it happens the way it's supposed to happen. Everything is where it's supposed to be, and it's an investment that will pay off because it will take the risk out. You know, if something's going to go wrong, that's probably the area it will go wrong, and now it's an area, I think, of high confidence. So I want to let you know about that because it changes things for us.
That's really, really smart. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that.
Boy, was that a bad idea. That's not what we wanted to hear.
Look, the name of the game is leverage. You can't have leverage if you don't have confidence.
Right.
And so here, look, if you're, you know, the power of full engagement, you know, your power of being fully engaged in meeting and spending time with clients and prospects, what are your capabilities if you did that full time?
Right.
While you're there. I mean, that's what we're measuring here. That's what Supernova does. It blocks out, because of the amount of activity, it blocks out things that you used to do that you may have enjoyed but didn't bring in revenues. Okay?
Yep.
And that's the point here. And when you say, you know, look, the reality is you guys are going into the weight room and you're lifting weights all day for the first time in a while. I'm not saying you didn't work hard before, but when you do Supernova, it's a new ball game. You don't put in more time, but when you're there, you're really busy.
Yeah. And we're really busy now, and we're all working out too.
Right, and good for you. second good thing, because you need to, because you're corporate athletes now. I mean, the reality is your productivity, you know, people say to me, Rob, this is amazing. You know, my FAs and managers say, you know, the FAs production is up 30%. And I go, yeah, I said, congratulations. But frankly, that's no surprise to me, because they're spending 30 or 40 or 50% more time with their clients.
Mm-hmm.
That's frankly the easy part. That's the easy 30%. The other 70% comes from growing your business. Those are the two tracks we talked about last week.
Right.
You know, one track is the client experience, which you're going to create a fabulous client experience. You're going to do a lot more business for those clients. Maybe not. Maybe you're already doing all the business you can with those clients.
No.
But they're going to be so happy with you that they're going to be willing to refer. Now, whether or not you get those, that's up to you. But we're positioning you so that you can turn your clients into the greatest sales force ever. And that's what we want to do. So are you doing more business with your clients?
Now?
No, not yet.
But you're busy, and they're liking it.
Yeah, they're liking it. We are very busy. Probably this week we'll finish up the laggards of the introduction. We're starting a schedule. I'm hoping when Donna comes in, I'd like her to be on, you know, as early in the system as possible. And then, you know, pretty soon we're going to be actually doing the Supernova thing. So I'm looking forward. I'm the marketing guy. So I'm looking forward to, you know, the center of influence stuff and working the enthusiastic endorsement model, starting to make that list. I know Christopher is looking forward to getting the 24-month calendar going. So, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah. And,
but it's all good.
You know, that's where the revenues will come when you start to batch process your 24-month calendar.
Mm-hmm.
You make a plan, we're going to do this. You know, we're going to, and you guys have got to make up your mind, you know, that you really want to do this business. But you say, okay, we're going to do mortgages this month. Well, you're going to do some mortgages then.
Right.
You're absolutely
right, because I've got two Supernova appointments in person after this. And I met someone last week, and while I was talking to him, a psychiatrist in New York City, he just did his mortgage, refinanced, just did it. You know, it's like, if I was running this program, this model earlier, that would have been ours.
Yep.
No doubt. Absolutely no doubt. So.
Well, good for you. I mean, look, the most important thing is that you get the picture. The fact that you made this investment in your business because you get it is wonderful, all right? I always told FAs, this is an interesting aside. I said when I would reassign clients to FAs, you know, for one reason or another, and they would say, oh, yeah, I'm keeping that client. I said, you're not keeping the client, okay, until you do business with them.
Lehman Brothers. That was Lehman's mantra, you know.
Good for them.
If
you're not doing a transaction with that client, he's not your client. Somebody from another firm and you say, oh, yeah, this guy says he's going to stay. He's not going to stay until he actually does business with you. And in our case, you know, for me to have you guys hire another person says we're in, all right? That's a transaction. Congratulations.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, we're in.
We are in.
Trust me, we're in.
No, but, you know, a lot of guys tell me, you know, they're telling me one thing and then they're doing something else. You guys aren't. That's good. That's really important.
Yeah. So we just made a deposit in the Bank of Trust.
Yeah, you made a commitment to the Bank of Trust, and that's really important. Financial, logical, and giving, you know. And really digging in and looking at your practice and saying, you know, this is the reality. and not just, you know, unfortunately, I've got a team that I've been working with now for 5 months, and all I heard is how bad their sales assistant is. You know, I mean, come on, guys, you're adults, fix it.
You know, no, exactly. You're lucky that you know where it's weak, you know, exactly.
Once you've identified the problem, the fact is you've got to fix it. And if you're not willing to do that, then don't call yourself a businessman.
Right.
You know. So,
this week, I guess we're talking, I have questions already, if I can let you
speak. Fire away.
So I'll let you continue, okay?
No, go ask your questions. Go ahead.
All right,
I'd rather
good.
Ask your questions. Materials
you've already read. Yeah, I've gone through most of the stuff. I mean, if not all of it. But my question really, and right now where we are in the process, where we're pretty much introduced Supernova. We did, you know, the segmentation's all done. Introductions are almost all done. We're going to start building out this calendar. So as we build out the calendar, you know, let's say in 30 days, there's going to be our first of the monthly calls. So we need the 24-month calendar for that. And I understand that you do that every client has the ability to edit or add to the agenda, and they get an agenda before the call. But you have a 24-month calendar. So what do you do when you have could you explain a 24-month calendar to me a bit more in that way?
The 24-month calendar has evolved over time. It used to be the 12-month calendar. I made it 24 months because what I found was in actually implementing it in my office, I gave myself 2 months to introduce a new product focus. So let's say we're going to do mortgages this month, April. The focus would be for April and May. So if you look at my 24-month sample that I gave you, there's eight that we introduce over 24-month period, all right? And that gives us time for things that are calendar-driven, like your required minimum distribution, tax swaps at the end of the year. And I think I start the year with a year in anticipated view, review.
Right, right.
What's the year look like going forward, et cetera, and kind of giving you So I've tried to think like you guys practically think. And so it doesn't make you crazy. You don't go from 1 month to the next month. Meanwhile, you've got 10 people that want to do mortgages, and you're overwhelmed. So we want to give you enough time to get, a good deal of the work done. In 60 days, we can get a lot of work done. So that's the idea of the calendar. Now, if, in fact, the client emails you back and says, I'm getting divorced, all right?
Mm-hmm. Great.
Then you take your calendar and you make that situation apply to the things that you need to discuss. Okay? So, for example, if they're getting divorced, and I forget exactly how this works, but sometimes the account's frozen, right? In terms of... Yeah, so that needs to be discussed, right? So you got to, she calls back, she emails that back. You go in and check with your compliance guy and find out what exactly the rules are, and then you have that discussion. That supersedes mortgages, okay?
For that person.
Yeah, so the rule of common sense supersedes all other rules. So that's the idea. When you have a situation where, you know, a person, you're talking to a new grandmother, and she wants to talk about her grandchild. God bless you. Let her talk about the grandchild. You got two things you got to get done. Get those done, then say goodbye. All right. You're not going to do mortgages that with her.
Right.
You're going to talk about the grandchild. Okay.
So let's say this month is mortgage month, right?
Yeah.
So we're all prepped. We all kind of know where the rates are and all that stuff in case there's some granular questions. And we introduce it, but some clients don't even have a mortgage. You know, is that where you just you just kind of do a touch and a market update or what's new in your life type of a call?
No, I would. You know, do you remember when you did? You probably did products. You know, like we did in the old days.
Sure.
And we'd take all our clients and we'd sell them a product, right? And
what
we found was even when they didn't buy the product, sometimes they'd give you a referral to somebody that needed it.
That's a good yes.
So that's what we're doing. We're basically going back to the fundamentals again and saying, look, I know you don't have a mortgage. You may not even want to hear about mortgages. But guess what? Maybe your son, daughter, or friend needs a mortgage, and I don't know about it. So let's talk a minute about mortgages. And then shut up and let him talk. He goes, yep, my son is buying a house. He needs a mortgage. We go, great. We'd love to give him an opinion, you know, and see if we can find something that would be a good fit for him. And the guy goes, wonderful, terrific. So there you go. Now you got a sale. So,
That clears that up.
That's long-term care. It's all the same. And what you tell the clients is, look, it's part of my job is to have you be a well-informed investor. Part of being a well-informed investor is knowing that we do mortgages. These are our rates. We think we're incredibly competitive. And that if you're at a cocktail party and you hear about somebody needing some help, please keep us in mind. And the guy goes, super. Okay, tell me about mortgages. Or tell me about, and we say, I would do the same thing with long-term care. Everybody should know about long-term care. Some people self-fund. Some people buy long-term care. You either do one or the other. There is no third option. Right? Except death. Right. You can die, or you're going to have one or two options. So you decide what is best for you and your kids. And so you just go through it and say, this is reality, okay? The cost is $70,000 to $100,000 a year of cost for hospital care and, you know, nursing home care where you need a full-time nurse. And you can fund it yourself. You're wealthy. Or if you don't want to have the kids have to worry about, you know, having to have them write that check because you're not capable of it, then maybe long-term care makes sense.
Good.
Because there is a conflict of interest at the end there. You know, the kids, I mean, I'm going through it with my mom. My mom is pretty much, she's 94 and really doesn't have any cognitive ability right now. So my brothers and I, every month, write checks, right, to keep her in a single room in a very nice facility, and because she's out of money. Now,
we know.
some people might not want to write those checks, right? Mom doesn't know the difference, but we write the checks. But not everybody's that nice, and you know what? Why should you have to put that burden on your kids? To have to make that decision because they feel guilty.
Right.
So why don't we have long-term care and take that off of their hands? If you can afford it, let's buy it. And the guy goes, okay, good. That's a help, thanks, I'll do that. So those are the things that, and get together with your wholesaler before each of these months. So you want to get briefed. You want to tell them, look, we're going to be doing 10 mortgages probably out of 100 clients, so be ready. We need special help. We want all the help. Tell us the details, da-da-da. And, you know, meet with your long-term care guy. What's the latest and greatest, and what do you think, da-da-da? What should we be selling? What shouldn't we? What's the state of affairs? And you guys are going to be better because of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hey, Rob.
If you have the time, and you spend a month on it, and I'd be training. What I used to do is train the guys for the month before we went into action. So you could be doing that. You could be getting trained for long-term care before you go into long-term care month.
For sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So that's, yeah.
Which, not that it's that important, but in your opinion, which of the five VPs would this responsibility so you have the, you've got the 24-month thing, you know, long-term care is coming up in June.
Right. That's all, it all belongs to implementation. Vice President.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Okay.
The product, training, the organization, the calendar, it really expands that job to being a critical. I mean, look, all the jobs are critical.
Right.
But a lot of people say, well, this is just the investment guy. No, it's not the investment guy. It's everything to do with product and implementing those products, you know. And they say, well, why can't just the planning guy do that? Because it's a different job. Now, if you only have one person on a team, then obviously he does everything or she does everything.
Right.
But if you have the ability to separate these roles and responsibilities, you can see how much leverage you can bring to the table.
Yeah, definitely. All right, good. Good, good, good. I like it.
No, that's a really good question. And because of your skills, selling skills background, you get this stuff. Yeah, that's a big help, huge help.
No, I definitely get it. I, you know, absolutely get it. I love it.
Right.
Yeah, so that's yeah, I would prep the, you know, do a little bit of prep the month before because, you know, if you're going to be talking about anything, long-term care or Roths or anything, if you are well-informed, you are confident. And when you're confident, the delivery is double what it would be if you weren't prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you come out, look, this is the purpose of the month. This is what our intention is. And then you go and you look at the client and you say, okay, this is the client. This is my intention today. Okay, this is what I'd like to come out of this call with. And so you're not just making willy-nilly calls.
No, not at all.
They're very purposeful.
When you, when the agenda, and we've already developed, Kenny, by the way, is in Costa Rica, that's why he's not here, but when you, he's developed a template for an agenda, how do you, let's just make believe it's long-term care. How do you pose it in the text of that agenda? Do you just say long-term care or, you know, is it a discussion of the issues of the day or, you know, aging boomers? Or how do you typically advise your advisors to pen that agenda?
Here's the way mine looks, all right? Goal, it's got Robin Marshall Knapp, agenda, and then under it is goals and tracking items. And then short-term goals, long-term goals, and then it's retirement cash flow, and then review and recommendations. Okay? So there are four things there. And goals and the tracking items would come from the financial plan. Long-term goals would come from the financial plan. Retirement cash flow is, you know, I'm quasi-retired, so I need to know what my cash flow is and how it is. And you'd be surprised how much this, you know, how really wonderful this is to see. It doesn't change a lot, but it does for me now because, for example, my I think I'm a decent example. My required minimum distribution comes in, even though I'm going to give it away, comes in as income this year, but my deferred comp is going out. And we really tried, you know, a long time ago to plan this thing so I would have consistent cash flow. So, you know, it just lists my dividends after tax. Everything I wanted it after tax. Now, I'm a little more demanding as a client. But I wanted it after tax. So I've got dividends, taxable interest, tax-exempt income, CRT, deferred comp, MetLife annuity. That's my original retirement plan from Merrill. Required minimum distribution, Social Security for Rob, Social Security for Marcia, and then the total. And we've got a goal of managing my expenses and matching up my expenses to my income. And then prior month recap, just to give you an idea. And then she just goes through and tells me, all right, so we required minimum distribution. We used that for Wake Forest and Pfeiffer University October time frame for gifts, okay? And then I gave money to my kids. That was another thing. And then raised some cash because I thought the market looked like it was a little high, so we raised some cash. And then review and recommendations, you know. My granddaughter's 529. Fund that some more. My foundation, I fund that with the money from Supernova.
Yeah, Supernova.
Yeah, and then realized losses that I've generated this year, which I like, and then just something else. So it's just, you know, it's just stuff about me. Now, I've got money. I'm fortunate. I've been very blessed. You know, I'm a good client. I'm worth it. I pay them a lot of money so they can do this, you know.
Right.
And they're very good at this. You know, they've been doing this a long time. So I've been 10 years quasi-retired. But they were doing this before. But I had to teach them how to do all this.
You charge them.
Right, I do. I did. I coached them and charged them.
Okay, good.
But yeah.
That's a hell of a agenda, though. I mean, really.
Oh, yeah, it's a bigger agenda. But, you've got, let's say you've got a guy with $50 million, right? He's going to pay you a lot of money. You know what? It's okay. You can do that for him.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And nobody else is thinking like this. Nobody else is taking care of things for him. And that's what you do. And that's the idea. It takes everything to another level. Your intimacy and knowledge of the client will be second to none. You know every single thing about them.
Yeah.
They don't make any decisions without calling you.
Uh-huh.
You know, my mom's sick. We're going to go up north. First call I made was to my financial advisor and said, you know, we're going up north. Mom's sick and just wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
And you know, why, I don't know. I just do. Cause, you know.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, so, yeah, it takes your practice to a level that you're just going to love, I think. I
agree.
I think you're just you're going to find it so rewarding and because you can be such a help to clients. You know, and I know a lot. Think about all the people that know nothing and how much help you can be that. I mean, they will be totally reliant on you, especially, you know, people that are unfamiliar with, you know, if it's a businessman, but what about the widow, you know, of the businessman that knows nothing? And then you can be just huge help.
Uh-huh.
I always say one of the tests of a practice is when a client, when a couple gets divorced, do they both stay with you?
Gosh.
There you go. That's your goal.
It's
that's
true.
Your goal. Both. All right?
It's true.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right. Looking forward to next week.
Yeah, me too. And thanks for doing your homework. I know you're doing it because you're asking good questions. That means you're doing your homework, so I don't have to check up on you. So congratulations on your decision. That was the best one you've made, I'm sure, in a while. And it's a great investment. So,
no, it gets the adrenaline going, you know. I don't mind the risk. I think it's great. It really makes you focus. So it's going to happen.
There you go.
All right.
Thank
you. Take care, Rob.
Thank you kindly, Rob.
Take care.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.